welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This is show number 166, and it's August 1st, 2006. Good to have you along today. We're right here at the Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. And for the next hour, what are we going to do? We're going to cook in the dark with Dale Campbell. Our host for today's show, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Hey, I am ready to do some cooking with Dale Campbell today and see what we got good to eat.
Yes, sirree, Bob. Don Patterson.
Well, Thomas, it's really good to see you again.
You guys look about the same.
I'm looking forward to cooking in the dark, too. That's why I ate at Golden Corral in case Dale fixes something I didn't care for.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. My name's Tom Houston, but here he is, folks. Here's the creator and producer of The Blind Handyman. Here's Phil Parr.
Well, Mr. Campbell, are you there?
Mr. Campbell is in the house.
He is, isn't he?
I just flipped the lights off so we can cook in the dark.
This will actually be cooking in the dark. There's no lights on at Dale's house, so it's...
No need for them. Got the apron on.
Is that
just
right?
Just got back from Rosie's, so, Mr. Shaw, you know what that means.
No. Shrimp time, huh?
Shrimp.
Yeah.
Rosie's. Now, what is Rosie's?
Rosie's is a little seafood, a fresh seafood market down in Seabrook. It is a dive of dives, and... It's a good thing I'm blind going in there, because I probably sure wouldn't want to, you know, you don't want to see what you're looking at.
Yeah, when you walk through the door, it's pretty tough, isn't it?
It is. And the other good, I guess, well, good for me, bad for other folks, you know, is that car wreck kind of messed my sense of smell up, so bad smells I really can't smell.
Well, I mean, you know,
is good, because, man, it is a fish market,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's pretty rough.
You don't want to go in a fish market that doesn't smell like fish, do you?
I mean, you really don't.
This one does,
for sure.
I got to be careful on that one.
Yeah, have to be very, very careful on that one. Well, it's good to have you. This is your first show on FTP Radio.
Yes.
And we could take some phone calls after a while. If we have any, we will be available for taking phone calls.
Well, I hope so. I put the word out on the Cooking in the Dark list.
Yeah.
All right.
And, man, some other big news is... on ACB Radio, we've moved.
You've moved times.
We now follow you guys.
New time slot. All right.
Now follow. What do you mean follow us?
Well, you guys are on Friday, starting Friday night and throughout Saturday.
Uh huh.
And then when you vacate the premises Saturday, we take it over.
So you're on Sunday now,
yeah,
instead
we're
of
on Saturday night, starting at 9 Central, and then we run throughout Sunday.
That's a much better
That's
time.
Right. Yeah, it
Great
is.
Great time slot. Everybody's all fired up on
that,
it.
That is a much better time. I'm glad she did that. What did she put on the other hour?
There's two half-hour shows. One, I'm not even sure what it's going to be, and then the other one is going to be Cooking Without Looking.
Oh.
The TV show.
Okay.
You know, that's done in Florida, that's actually a TV show by a blind chef.
Oh, really?
Or a blind, yeah, I guess he is a blind chef. I'm not sure, but he's got a little 30-minute show that's going to be running as well.
Little nothing show, right?
What's that?
Little nothing show compared to yours.
I ain't worried about it.
You're not.
There's only one Cooking in the Dark.
There's only one Cooking in the Dark. Well, that series is a much better time, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah, it's really great. And, of course, I mean, with everything running and going, I mean, everything's just going just great.
Yeah.
How was vacation, everybody?
Well, ours was good. It was hot, of course, as it always is at Padre Island. But, you know, we survived. And have you been to your condo?
Jaman. We went to the islands, man.
Did you eat?
Yeah, we had a great trip down there, and it was just great. You know, you get off the ferry, and everybody's there welcoming you, and you know, they're just so happy and excited to see you again. And of course, the blender's running, and you know, you've got 10 days of nothing to do but drink and enjoy the sand.
Conch fritters and all.
Conch fritters, yes. I definitely toured some of the restaurants and talked to some of the chefs and came back with some great recipes and tips and ideas.
Well, that is good.
And you know, the one thing that, I mean, we went all the way down there, and I ended up coming back with a spice, some seasoning, and it's called adobo.
Adobo.
And it's made in Mexico.
But one cannot buy it here.
No, it's available here, too.
Oh.
But I never knew about it until I got down there. I was eating some sautéed mushrooms. I was like, man, why are these so good?
Yeah.
So the chef, her daughter, was the bartender. Jam up. I have to say hey to Don, man. Those were great drinks. But, yeah, her mom came out, and we started rapping, and she turned me on to some, you know, some different recipes and tips, and a couple I had to swear to secrecy.
Adobo.
Adobo.
Where do you,
you don't want to use much of it.
Where
you
do
could,
you?
You could tell that was from Mexico. Wasn't there a song called "In My Adobo Hacienda"?
Oh, that's bad. that's bad. That's good.
Yeah, adobo. It's a pretty big. It's just a blend of different spices.
And you, you
garlic,
can
peppers.
You can buy it where here?
Salt, I don't know what all's in it exactly.
Where can you buy it in the U.S. in the States?
I'd say any grocery store. H-E-B has it.
Is that right?
Whoops, I'm all right. Can't really say their name. They're not paying me to say their name. You know what I mean?
Well, you can. It's all right. It doesn't make any difference.
No, but yeah, I'm sure it's available.
If there's still a Fiesta store in Houston, that'd be a.
You know they'd have them.
You know they'd have it.
I would. Yeah.
I would say. All right, what are we doing today? What's the deal for the day?
We are going to do some roasted vegetables.
Uh huh.
We're also going to do shrimp.
Okay.
From Rosie's. And
all right.
Then we're going to make a, basically we're going to kind of saute the shrimp, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just pan sear them in a little olive oil and adobo seasoning.
Yeah.
And then we're going to take them out of the skillet, move them off to the side. And then we're going to make a white wine, kind of a spicy white wine sauce. To pour over the top of
it. So we're actually using this adobo stuff this week
in the deal.
We're
going to use a little adobo on the vegetable too.
All right.
I mean, you can use it on poultry. You can use it on, of course, seafood.
Yeah.
There's different blends of it available. And what Deanne recommended doing was buy the one that's I think there's a spicy one. And she says she prefers not to do that because she likes to add her own spices to it when she wants to turn it up.
Okay.
So I thought, man, that sounds good. And, you know, with everybody, I mean, there are some people just like really, really spicy food, and if you like that all the time, then get the spicy.
Well, that's probably what we do.
Yeah.
There's nobody here but Luann and I, and both of us like spicy kinds
of... Me too. And it's not good unless your nose is running.
That's right. But Skylar doesn't like it if you tell her it's spicy. She won't eat it, right?
If Skylar sees pepper, she bails out.
But she loves it.
You know what? Now, I made some salsa that was hotter than heck. I put 4 jalapenos in it on purpose.
And she ate it.
This is hot, and her eyes are watering, her nose is running, and she's just steadily gobbling.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know?
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. How old is that baby girl now?
That baby girl is a young lady now. She
13?
She is 12 going on 25.
12 going on 25.
Yeah.
Well.
She had, we had such a great time down in the islands, and we were out in water, maybe a foot and a half deep. You know, I was sifting my hands through the sand, and we were pulling up different shells and little baby conch shells and big conch shell, all kinds of stuff. And Kelsey was standing there, you know, Mr. Guide Dog, just standing there just so patiently. Just we'd hold a shell up to him, and he'd look at him and stuff. And then I picked something up, and I thought it was coral, you know, a little piece of coral that had broken off. It was kind of finger-sized, and all of a sudden it moved.
Wow.
And then I felt all around, and it was a starfish.
Is that right?
Yeah, really? And it was a baby one. It was about as big around as a silver dollar.
Just
little bitty guy. And I'll be doggone if I didn't find another one.
Catching fish with your hands.
Yes, catching little starfishes down there. The blind guy going starfish fishing.
Well, you know, I read a book about some guy in Louisiana that just would reach out of the boat and get a fish, catch fish with his hands.
I can see it all now, Saturday morning on FTP Radio, fishing with Del Campbell.
Yeah.
We don't need no boat.
Yeah.
And fishing.
Well, that's not bad.
I don't know about that now.
The blind fishing show. Why not?
You know, my buddies won't take me fishing anymore.
Why is that?
Because I outfish them.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, they one time they turned the boat and had me fishing on the dang shore. Right, you know.
That's kind of mean.
I caught a barge going by. That was a wild one.
That's kind of mean.
But, you know, I mean, fishing's all feel.
I check
you know,
this other.
You can't see it under the water either.
That's true.
Check this other line, make sure it works.
You know, you're just waiting for something.
And what is our first caller going to receive today?
Fine.
We're going to get a call today, trust me.
I hope so.
We will. I'm sure you. I thought you'd probably seeded it and had some callers calling in today.
A rigged call.
Can you still make a call for a nickel? I'll run around the corner.
Yeah, to the nearest payphone.
Well, I'm going to get some veggies sliced up here.
All right, sir, we're ready to start cooking. Quit comedianing.
Yeah, I mean, we can do that. Or basically, I've just got some. I've already diced up a zucchini, and I put it in some pretty big. I mean, when I say diced up, I cut it into some pretty big hunks. And I've got a sweet onion. I just sliced up a half a sweet onion on the mandolin. I've also diced up a Roma tomato, the homegrown tomatoes at the grocery store they were like $1.79 a pound. They were proud of them dudes.
Wow.
And Romas were coming in at 79 cents a pound, so I got the Romas instead. And for this dish, a Roma is a little bit better because it's not as juicy. It's a little more meaty.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be perfect for what we're going to do here.
A Roma tomato. I've never heard of one.
Kind of a tall, skinny tomato.
Really?
You see them a lot in, yeah, they're used a lot for, in salads.
Kind of real pear-shaped.
I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah?
Like
yeah.
a pear-shaped.
Yeah, very pear-shaped.
Could you just eat one if you wanted to? I mean, would they, do they taste tomato-y or what?
Yeah, they taste very tomato-y.
Wow. All right.
But just a different tomato than the, you know, I mean, normally you think of a tomato being kind of round and plump.
Mm-hmm.
These are just a little more tall and skinny.
Tall, skinny tomatoes.
Dicing up some mushrooms
knife
here
there,
real
I
quick.
Can knife on the chopping board effect. Man, your new setup there sounds great.
It sounds
better
much better.
Than ever.
Oh, man.
Oh, this headset is fantastic.
I thought Tim Cummings would just, he would just went into spasmodic fits.
Yeah. You know, I'm actually louder than Cheryl now.
Is that right?
She's going to have to speak up.
She's going to have to shape up, straighten up on that new microphone he's got.
Man, that's right.
Yeah, but this is much better. You needed to do that, and we're happy that you did.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, that last show we did back in, way back in June.
Yeah.
The crazy thing was off the cradle.
It's hard to get those levels up. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. It was off the cradle. Your housekeeper had knocked it off.
Yeah, you'd just gotten it or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, you just...
yeah. As the quote around here is, we got loopied.
Yeah.
I mean, I come in, and bless her heart, she tries, you know, but goodness gracious, after she comes through the kitchen and puts stuff up, if I don't beat her to the dishwasher and unload it before she gets here, we are in a world of
I've got mine pretty well trained. She's been with me 15 years, we decided, as of today.
Wow.
Speaking of that, this is kind of an anniversary for us. This begins the fifth year of the Blind Handyman Show.
Right.
And the fourth year of Blind Like Me.
All
wow.
right.
Oh.
So,
who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk it?
We are moving right along. Yeah, I was counting up the shows the other day, and so I'm building a new, Cooking in the Dark page with the podcast addresses and different links and all that crazy stuff. And, gosh, I mean, we've already done, I think we got done recording, like, show 43.
You and
Cooking
you
in
and
the Dark, just doing the weeklies.
You and Tim,
I don't know
you
how
and,
many we've done together.
You and Tim and Cheryl, 43 shows.
Yeah,
it's a bunch.
Is that right?
I mean, we're just rolling right along.
Yeah. Okay, so we're chopping vegetables and
we're just chopping up some mushrooms here. They're white, large white, just whole mushrooms. I'm just cutting them down. I'm not really dicing them real small, more or less. Probably, I mean, these are about quarter size. The heads are about quarter. About the size of a quarter in diameter.
Okay.
And I'm just making a cut on each side of the stem and then kind of slicing right through the stem. Ooh, there's a baby one. We'll just let him go as he is.
All right.
But I tell you, while we were down there, we went to, they had a thing called Jump Up, where, of course, now this little town, Christiansted, was founded way back in the 1600s, and it was made for wagons and such. So there's just single roads going in and out.
Okay.
There's a one-lane road coming in called King Street and a one-lane road called Company Street going out, and that's it.
And
but they blocked off those streets. And, I mean, basically down there, y'all, man, 7 o'clock comes, sidewalks are rolled up, and everything's closed down.
We're getting
right.
It's crazy.
Is this Virgin Islands?
What's that?
Were you in the Virgin Islands?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're in the St. Croix is the largest of the American Virgins.
Right.
And it's the furthest, it's like the furthest south. It's about 40 miles away from all the other islands.
Right.
All right.
So on a clear day, you can maybe make out the outline of the other islands.
So you
but
think we ought to
really
take...
It's like the redheaded stepchild of them, but you don't have all the cruise ships coming in like you do in St. Thomas. So there's not a lot of hustle and bustle. There's basically two towns, Frederickstead and Christiansted. Frederickstead is kind of really run down and more of a poorer community than Christiansted.
Yeah, we don't mean to insult anybody in Frederickstead, of course not.
That's probably someone from...
We've gone there every time and taken the tour of the rum factory. Now they see Kelsey and I coming. They just escort us right through the...
So, Dale, you can hear us, right?
Yes.
I mean, it is possible for you to hear us.
Yes.
We were just checking. Listen,
really, though, I mean, I can't really... it's kind of why? What did I miss?
Well, nothing. We got a phone call. I don't reckon it's a bill collector. Should we just check? Hello there, phone person.
Well, hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
We're good. Who is this?
This is Jan Sturbins from Ohio.
Is
hey,
this
Jan.
Is
first ever caller.
Yay.
We'll have to write her name.
I don't have a question, though. I just called to say how much I'm enjoying the show.
Well, that's all right.
I hope that's okay.
No, that's fine,
right,
man.
Right.
Are you on the Cooking in the Dark list?
I most certainly am.
Then you know Dale Campbell, right?
Yes, I do.
Well, good. Well,
she is. She's also a Blind Mice Mark customer.
Is that right?
Yes, I am. I'm that, too.
Well,
yes.
That's good. We let you do both, you know?
Yeah, well, it's rare that I miss a Cooking in the Dark show. I'm also connected with the podcast, and, hey, I do it all.
Is that right? What is your level of vision?
Total.
Your total? Well, we're glad to meet you, and you're in Ohio, right?
Yes, I am, and it's hot here, hot, hot, hot.
It is hot there. I talked to a lady from Cleveland yesterday that said it was really, really hot there.
Really?
Yeah, I did a Blind Like Me interview with a lady named PJ who lives near Cleveland. Well, all right, Jan, we're gonna let you go, and we thank you for calling. You were our first ever caller.
I do have a question.
Okay.
I'll take that back.
All right. You do have a question.
I got onto the show late, and I missed. Dale, what are you cooking today?
What we're doing today, we're going to do a kind of a sautéed shrimp. I've got some boneless shrimp.
Yeah.
I've got some shrimp tails. They're about a pound and a half of shrimp that are probably 15 to 20s.
Uh-huh.
It takes about 15 to 20 of them to make a pound.
Good
size.
Right.
We're going to sauté those in some garlic and olive oil.
Okay.
And then we're going to make a white wine kind of pepper sauce.
Okay.
Kind of a hot white wine sauce to put over the top of them. And
then
we're going to do some roasted
vegetables.
And
you get to drink some of that white wine, too?
I've got a prize for a quick and easy angel food cake dessert.
Yeah. What did you ask, Jan?
I asked him if he got to drink some of that white wine also.
Oh, yes.
While he's cooking.
Drinking is encouraged when we do the Handyman Cooking Show.
That's right.
Tim and Cheryl frown upon that. No, I'm just joking.
I don't know about the other one, but on this one, we certainly allow it.
Well, I'll let you people go, and thank you so much for taking
your
call.
Listen, you can put...
I'll just listen to the show.
You can put on your resume you were the first ever caller to the Blind Handyman Show.
Okay, I'll
there
Radio.
Should be a prize,
be
but actually
that,
our budget, huh? Our budget probably
doesn't allow.
Maybe we can ship
fine.
You an old worn-out album or something.
Yeah, Bill, tell her what she's won.
Put a plaque up there in my name.
Listen, we'll do that, Jan. Thank you much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You guys have a nice day.
We will.
Bye.
Bye,
Jan.
All right.
All right, very good.
I didn't hear y'all.
See, more than anything, I wanted to prove the system worked. I just wanted to know if all this wiring I've done was in vain. And sure enough, it works. We can actually take phone calls. All right, what are you doing? We'll take a short break.
Yeah, we can take a break. I'm going to get the pan ready to put the veggies on and put those in the oven. We're going to get the shrimp going. And
okay.
I want to make sure I leave us enough time to do the cake.
All right. Let's take a little break and be back in a minute with more Cooking in the Dark with Dale Campbell on the Blind Handyman Show. From all over the nation, a lot of folks from in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Good morning again. I'm Bob Bartlett.
That was November 2004. Hi, this is Phil Parr, and this November 2006,
we're going to do it again.
We're going to gather at the Sheraton Northeast in Houston, Texas, and have a big party. Opening ceremony Saturday morning. Cooking in the Dark with Dale Campbell and Cheryl coming Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, lots of dancing and great live music. We'll record a live Blind Handyman Show Sunday morning, a live Blind Like Me Show Sunday afternoon, and Sunday night more dancing and great live music. If all this sounds like fun to you, why don't you email me and I'll send you the details. My email address is phil@philpar.net. That's phil@philpar.net. We'll see you this November in Houston. Isn't it pretty exciting? We just realized, what are you folks laughing about? I don't know what their problem is. Dale, what are they laughing about?
What is going on?
I have no idea what no idea what they're laughing about. We haven't given the phone number, you know? She must have remembered it from last week. What do you think? What would be your guess?
I think this tall, good-looking blind guy posted it on the Cooking in the Dark list.
Oh, posted it on the Cooking in the Dark list. Okay.
Hey, all right.
All right, that explains that, isn't it? Anyway, the phone number is 936. That's 936-634-9500 if you want to say hi and have a question and talk a minute with Dale Campbell. That would be the phone number, 936-634-9500. Go ahead, Mr. Campbell. Go ahead.
All right. We have what I've done, I put all of the diced up veggies in a bowl.
All right.
And I poured a little olive oil in there, and I've just got my hands in, just kind of massaging them around so they all get coated with some olive oil. And, oh, goodness gracious, I forgot one other item. We'll just put that in a little bit. We'll just do that separately.
Like what?
Sweet potato.
What do you do with that?
I put a sweet potato, and I got so excited. It's been so long since we've yacked with each other.
What do you do with a sweet potato? Just put it in the...
Just peel it with a vegetable peeler like you would just a...
Yeah?
Just like you would a regular potato.
Uh-huh.
Dice him up into about inch-sized chunks, dices, and I put him in with the veggies also. And just we're just going to slide these vegetables. This is the best part.
Yep.
Just slide them into the oven and let them roast in the oven at about 375 for just about 30 minutes.
What about the sweet potato? Are you going to put it in later or what?
Actually, I'll probably just microwave that later for Candace.
You can do that.
The sweet potato king.
She likes them.
She loves them.
My wife likes them.
And I do too now. I'd never really eaten a sweet potato.
Yeah.
Straight out, other than, you know, being at the holidays or something like that. But we'll just wash it off and
microwave
it in the microwave and nuke it.
Yeah. Luann does the same thing. She likes them.
Yeah, we don't. Does Luann put anything on it?
Nope.
Yeah, neither does Candace.
Don't, just eats it.
I get the mushroom,
the
marshmallow cream out every now and then. Spoon a little bit of that on.
It wouldn't hurt anything.
On it or something.
Wouldn't be a bad idea.
Wouldn't hurt
anything.
Candace
loves it.
She made, Luann made mashed potatoes, and she made mashed potatoes, combination of regular Irish potatoes and sweet potatoes, kind of combined.
Ooh,
and
that was good.
They were actually pretty good.
Yeah.
We didn't have enough for mashed potatoes, so she took a couple sweet potatoes and did them.
All
and,
right.
And it actually came out pretty good.
Now, Candace got on her before we got married, on that no carbohydrate diet type thing, you know, to lose some weight.
Yeah, low carb, no carb.
And that's when we got into all these crazy other foods.
Yeah, is that the one you eat all the bacon and eggs on and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, Candace's modified version of that was she just didn't eat anything with any breads, any rice.
Yeah.
Any pasta.
Potatoes.
I mean, primarily about, you know, really about all she ate was salads and soup.
Yeah.
Her dad used to kid her all the time.
Well, you can eat steak. I mean, you can eat meat.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All the meat.
Yeah, she'd eat chicken breast every now and then, but primarily, man, it was all cereal and soup. And.
Yeah, she didn't consider that cereal bread?
No.
No. Okay. So
it was, what was it? So, I don't know, Special K, something.
That'd be my downfall was eating cereal, because I eat cereal two or three times a day.
Man, I love it.
I do.
Give me some Corn Chex or some Rice Chex.
I'm a Honey Nut Cheerios man.
Honey Nut, woo, get down, son.
You may think I'm delirious, but I'm quite serious. A Honey Nut Cheerios man.
Hotel there in November to stock up on that. Then.
That's right.
Yeah.
I can do some Honey Nut Cheerios too. What I just did, y'all, I put a couple rounds of olive oil in the skillet.
Uh huh.
We're over medium, about a medium high heat. I'm going to turn it down to about a medium heat.
Uh huh.
And I just dumped the shrimp into the olive oil. And doing a round, what I do with the round is I hold my finger kind of over the top of the olive oil bottle.
Uh-huh.
So a little bit pours out and just do a quick circle around the pan.
Uh-huh. As it's pouring.
That's a round.
Yep. Yep.
I guess if you have a square griddle, you can call it a square.
I guess you could. But olive oil, you know, I took your advice, and you said buy a better quality of olive oil if you're going to put it on toast, and you're right. It tastes better.
It's a different taste.
I bought the expensive olive oil.
That's so weird you mentioned that. I was reading, I came across that email again, because I'm trying to get that cookbook finished up that Brian Turner and, you know, we'd all worked on together.
So I didn't know you were going to do another?
I mean, you know, God rest his soul.
You're going to do another cookbook?
It was shocking news when we found out he passed away, but he had taken like 3,500 recipes from the first 2 years of Cooking in the Dark.
Mm-hmm.
Edited them all, got them all together, and we're going to put out a cookbook on CD for him. But I was reading about that, you know, the tasting of olive oil, and that just still cracks me up, that people taste olive oil like you taste wine.
Wine or something? Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, would it not vary, on the crop each year and the soil, you know? I mean, that's why certain places grow wine, grapes and flavors.
You're exactly right.
You know, and
different
so,
areas, depending on their soil or, you know, whatever's around them, will have different flavored olives.
What is a good brand name that you can give expensive? versus...
Oh, you know what? I don't even know.
Or, well, what about one not to...
I buy, like, extra virgin olive oil.
Right.
And we keep a little jar of that, and that's what I'll mix up for salads or anything that we're not cooking.
Right.
And then for cooking, I just buy the cheapest, whatever the best value of regular olive oil there is.
If you're just going to coat the skillet with it, why buy the expensive
right.
stuff?
Right. Okay.
But if you're going to put it on your toast, which I do...
Probably good, expensive.
You know. Well, yeah, and it's boy, I'll tell you what, if you know what Eggos are?
Yeah.
Eggos
are
like little round, they're little round bread things. They look like waffles.
Waffles, yeah.
And I love them. Boy, olive oil on an Eggo is, I love it. It's, you know, it's good.
Rachel Ray does a little thing on 30-minute meals on the, up on the dish
on
there.
On the cooking network?
Yeah, on the satellite.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And she, EVOO, that's what she calls it, extra virgin olive oil. Uh-huh. She puts it on everything. Everything.
She's using it on everything.
Cook with it, everything.
Well, you know, and here we are going back to the islands, but we went down to this little pizza shop down in Frederickstead, and they have a red or a white pizza. And a white pizza is made with olive oil.
Really?
Red pizza is made with, you know, tomato sauce.
Well, is this EEVO or whatever, is that a brand name?
No,
or
is EVOO that is just stands for extra virgin
but
olive
oil.
But
then there could be several brand names.
Oh, there are.
I got you.
Yeah, and there's imported and there's, I mean, a lot of the vineyards where they were growing grapes in California out in the Napa Valley now are switching to olives.
Yeah, they're having a real problem. That's another show. But, there are a lot of the wineries out there are kind of in the climate's changing.
Really?
They're losing their grapes. I mean,
really?
Really?
Not good.
This is because of global warming?
It's possible. And they say that some of the vineyards may not be there.
Wow.
There will be.
Dale's there.
Well, there will be plenty of wine to drink. I mean, there's not going to be a shortage of wine or anything, is there?
We hope not.
I see he's starting to sweat now, Thomas. He's already made
it. You can tell when it's starting to get done because it gets firm.
Shrimp does, yeah.
Real soft and, I don't know, what do you want to call it, flaccid?
Yeah, flaccid.
You know, it's kind of floppy. But as it cooks, it'll firm up and you can kind of feel it just by... I'm using a wooden spoon just by pressing on it. Now I'll scoop one out here and see what we've got.
Scoop one out and eat it.
I've already popped some butter in.
That's what you're going to do.
I put in a half of a stick of butter, which is a quarter cup.
Yep.
We're going to get it melted down.
All right.
We're going to make our white sauce real quick.
Here, let's check this phone here and make sure it works.
There you go.
Are you out there?
Come on.
Call us if you're here. You know, what's that Pink Floyd song?
Checking,
call if you can hear me or something like that.
Checking the line there, you know.
Here's a quarter. Call somebody.
Come, someone you love. I love that song. All right, so shrimp are done. Shrimp are ready to eat.
Shrimp are about ready.
Huh? Well.
I've turned the heat off on them, so they're just going to sit there and rest.
Yep.
I've got the butter melted. Now, to the butter, we're going to add 2 tablespoons of flour.
Okay.
There's one.
Just heard Dale Campbell's call waiting kick in.
We want to let this heat again. We're on about a medium-low heat.
And the veggies are in the oven doing already.
The veggies are in the oven, yeah. And the best thing about those, they're going to go about 30 minutes. When we take our next break, I'll pull them out and kind of stir them around a little bit.
Yeah, because they won't take long.
We'll get this kind of...
So is this like a roux you're making? What are you doing?
We're making just a white wine sauce.
Yeah.
It's very simple to do. It's about a quarter stick of butter, 2 tablespoons of flour.
Okay.
1 cup to 1.5 cups of cream, heavy cream.
Uh-huh.
If you don't have heavy cream, I mean, you can substitute milk. That's cool.
Yeah.
About a cup of wine, a dry white wine works the best. If you don't want to put the wine in, add a little more milk and you're still good to go.
Okay.
And then we just kind of let that come to a boil and then start kind of cooking down. Now you can go different routes with this. So you can put some lemon juice in it and make like a lemon and, you know, a little garlic cut up, you know, mince some garlic and pop in there.
Okay, now this is a sauce that's going to go over the shrimp and
this
veggies.
The sauce that we're going to put over the shrimp. Yeah.
Over the shrimp. And veggies also or not?
No,
no,
not over the veggies.
Over the shrimp.
Now you could.
You could. I guess you could. Okay,
but,
just over the shrimp.
Not necessarily. Or if you have like a fish fillet,
uh-huh.
You know, you can put it over the top of the fish.
Okay.
Sometimes if you go to like to Papa's.
Uh-huh.
And you get, like, I think it's the Pontchartrain dish. They've got that red fish with a white sauce. This is probably pretty much just what the white sauce is.
That has little onion things in it, like,
uh-huh.
Almost. Yeah.
Now, you can, yeah, if I were making this a garlic sauce, I would have sautéed the garlic and onions in the butter before I added the flour.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm adding about a cup of cream. There we go. And I'm going to turn the heat up. Just stir a little more. Let me get the wine here.
All right.
Oh, yeah, the wino man.
The wino man, yes, sir.
Did you know, y'all, that Cruzan rum can drink it all night long?
Yeah.
And not end up with a hangover?
No, no. Come on. Really?
Serious. That little party I was telling y'all about when we did that jump up thing?
Yeah.
We met a couple from San Antonio that had just gotten married, so we were hanging out with them and doing the jump up thing, and we found a band that was playing. We were in this little alley, and there was a table and a place where I don't know what these drinks were, but it was pineapple juice and then pineapple rum, orange rum. It had like three or four of these flavored rums.
Mm. Cruising.
Next thing we know, we look around, party's over. Everybody's gone, and we were lit up.
Cruising rum.
And I, you know, I ended up going sailing the next day. 10 o'clock, I was out sailing on the water.
Is that right?
There's no way I should have been sailing at 10 o'clock, as much as we drank that night.
Well, now, this you were talking about this little town that just has these roads in it. Is this where your condo is, or is this
yes.
just...
Yeah, we are actually... Our condo is actually on an island that's in the harbor of this town.
Okay.
So the cool thing about it, after dark, nobody goes across the ferry except people that are staying at the hotel. So, I mean, and everybody knows us. They know Skyler. So we don't have any problems, you know, with letting Skyler run around and do stuff. She's not getting across the ferry without our knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
And they roll up the sidewalks at this town at 6
yeah,
o'clock.
Yeah, and it's terrible, but, I mean, it's just the way it is down there.
Yeah.
The sun is up and the sun is down, and that's it. Now, I mean, there's places to go if you know, places to go. And mainly it's all bars.
But the main thing is get on the ferry and go across, and there's plenty of partying on the mainland.
Yeah, yeah. There's
okay.
Plenty, I mean, there's... You know, five or six little restaurant bars on the waterfront there. They're working on getting a boardwalk to where you can walk down to another couple little areas. I mean, you can walk there, but it's just not safe because there's no sidewalks. People down there drive like idiots.
In some parts of the Virgin Islands, you know, there's quite a Texas connection. And we've had some people of dubious reputations leave Texas and go down there, and I think they have a little expatriate community. I mean, you know, I think one guy maybe owns a bar, or, you know.
Yes,
and
you know, it's St. Croix because of they have a huge refinery down there.
Yeah.
Hess Helvina, I think Helvina is who owns it now.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there is a bar right up the road, maybe a half a mile from where the ferry landing is, that is owned by some Texas people. And they've got all types of, you know, different Texas and A&M and
right.
All kinds of memorabilia.
Yeah, there's Aggies everywhere.
So it's really cool. But, I mean, the thing we like about it, the hotel we're at, has got a great beach. You know, there's no sections, none of that stuff to really worry about stepping on or coming out and getting in your way when you're going out there.
Mm-hmm.
And just good people, you know. I mean, where else can you pick a coconut up that's floating in the water? And the ferry driver took it and cracked it open on the side of the dock, you know, and it's still, I mean, he was able to, he's done it so many times that he was able to still trap the milk.
Really?
You know, in the middle of it. So we're drinking the milk out of it, taking a knife and just carving out fresh coconut.
Man,
that's pretty cool.
Mangoes were everywhere. It was mango season. They were falling off the trees. They were just everywhere.
Wow.
That's pretty nice.
it's really cool. We ate this thing called a ginnup.
A what?
It's called a ginnup. It's about the size of maybe a small pecan, just a little bit smaller than a pecan.
Uh-huh.
It's got a soft skin on it, and you basically bite the skin off. You know, just break the skin, or I just bit the end of it off.
Yep.
And then the fruit of it, it's almost like a jelly-like, a real sweet jelly-like tasting
uh-huh.
fruit. And you suck that off, and then it's got a real big pit. And you can even take the pits and split them open and roast them. So, I mean, it was just real cool. I mean, it was just really neat. You know, you get in there and start rapping with everybody and learn all these little... I mean, basically, everybody down there is pretty much poor. You know, you either work for the government or you're unemployed almost.
Yeah.
But all the locals, I mean, it's kind of...
So the place you go is not really a tourist place.
I mean, it is not so much. It is not as tourist-driven as St. Thomas and St. John's. They maybe will get a cruise ship once every 3 or 4 months.
Uh-huh.
Where, I mean, St. Thomas, you know, they get four
every
or five
day,
cruise ships
yeah,
a day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, at least.
And we like that about it because you don't have the hustle and bustle. We went over to St. Thomas and St. John 2 years ago when we were down there, and everything is so tourist-driven. You've got guys,
yeah,
you know, barkers on the sidewalks trying to yank you into their shops to sell you something or to rip you off or do this or do that. You know, it's just not cool.
Yeah.
See, this is because my wife's brother, I think I was telling Phil today, actually, he has a large boat that he's going to sell. But for several years, they had it in the British Virgin Islands simply
right,
because of the tourism of the American
yeah,
in those places. And they would go down there and stay like for a month and go to a little Methodist church and just,
yeah,
you know, no tourists,
I mean,
no.
If you're on St. Thomas or St. John, you can see the British VIs. They're right there.
Yeah, and that's
And you can take ferries back and forth between all the islands.
Right.
Really?
Now, what tripped me out, which I didn't realize until we were out sailing with Captain Ken this last time, is that, you know, deer swim, but they swim between the islands. And it may be 2 or 3 miles between these islands.
Dang.
And they're out
Whoa,
there cruising from one island to the next. I'm like, dang.
Man.
That's just a big old man.
Well,
I get a taste of that venison, it's all over with for the rest of them deer.
I didn't know that deers could swim. I had no idea that a deer could swim.
Now, I knew they swam, but I never realized. I just kind of stirred up the vegetables there real quick. But
okay.
Yeah, I never realized they swam. Hey, man, I'm going to go, you know. Somebody check their passport, I guess.
Well, where's the islands where the horses do that? They migrate by swimming across
yeah,
a fairly large, you know, the Faroe Islands? No, someplace where they have these wild ponies, wild horses, and they go and swim across a big strait, I think. So.
Yeah, I mean, horses, all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, so
take off.
So how do you get, when you, of course, you have to fly down to St. Croix where
yeah,
you are.
Yeah, fly directly to St. Croix.
How do you get from there to your hotel?
A cab.
Take a cab.
Yeah, yeah. And then the hotel, I mean, if anybody's going down there, the website is Hotel on the Key, and Key is spelled CAY.com.
Uh-huh.
Go to their website and call their 800 number and ask to speak to Marion. She's the manager down there.
Uh-huh.
And she'll hook you up. And then if you're going, call me, and I'll hook you up with places to go and restaurants to eat at, and, man, you'll be fast in no time.
Was your vacation all-inclusive, or did they have
it? No, it's all, okay. I mean, you know, our hotel room, y'all, was $65 a night.
Yeah.
You can't beat that.
Airfare was almost $1,000.
Really?
And that's just the way, I mean, just, you know, just that's just the way it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
St. Croix is 1,100 miles southeast of Miami. In fact, there's a place down there called Point Udall, and it's the most extreme eastern point of the United States.
Right.
So we did our photo ops. Woohoo, here we are, you know. And there's a casino down there for gambling. Just watch yourself. You know, that couple from San Antonio that we were partying with, they went in there, and somehow the guy lost his wallet, and he ended up, they found it, but it was $2,000 lighter.
Wow.
I mean, crime down there, y'all, it's a poor community. I mean, you've got to watch your back, you know?
Well, you know, we went to the Bahamas one time, and there was, in the little brochure it says, be aware of your surroundings. It said, you wouldn't walk down a dark street in your own, in the United States. Why would you do it in the Bahamas, you know?
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
Stay
thank
where you
very much. That is it. I mean, just be aware. I mean, that's one of the excuses that the cruise ships gave for pulling out of there is because of the crime. You know, passengers were this and that. Well, the passengers that were, they had like 6 reported crimes, and they were in the project areas. And there's only 2 reasons you go to the project areas, for drugs or for prostitution. And basically, it was these guys, they, you know, they were in the wrong, you know, they were someplace they didn't need
in
to be.
In the wrong place, yeah.
And they were doing something they didn't need to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway. But yeah, it's a cool little place. There's tons of history down there. We do an island tour with a guy every year, and he takes us to the botanical gardens and kind of explains the, shows us the different trees and different fruits and, you know, different things that are native to the island. You get to go to the rum factory. You get to go to the pig bar. It's called the Domino Hut up in the rainforest, where they have the beer-drinking pig.
No, I'm not familiar with that. The beer drinking pig.
Beer drinking.
I think I was married to her cousin at one time.
I wonder if
huge, huge old hog. I mean,
that's what I said. I think I was married to her cousin.
Big old dude. Now, back in the day when I used to go down there,
Dale?
He drank old Milwaukee.
Uh huh.
Now they've got him on sharps.
I wonder if he's any kin to the Cincinnati dancing pig.
Cincinnati
I don't know. But I'll tell you what, you come walking up there with a. He sees you coming around the corner with that beer, and he's all about it. I mean, I bet this pig weighs 1,800 pounds.
Goodness.
Really?
He's huge. Got big old tusks sticking out, and you hold that beer out to him, and he grabs it in his tusks and bites through the can, tilts his head back, you know, drinks it, and spits the can out and looks for another one.
Goodness.
Wow. He's a hoot, man.
Is that right?
He's really a lot of fun. And plus the bar, I mean, it's just an open-air bar.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you swear it's like it's something, you know, it's something you'd see on Gilligan's Island. You know, a little thatch roof and all that other stuff. But, hey, you all want to take a break or do keep going? I'm fixing to bust out the...
It's kind of the Dale Campbell travel log show.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Why don't we take a break and we'll get back and finish, do the cake.
Okay.
How would that be? All right?
Sounds good.
Hang on just a minute. Back with more of Dale Campbell and Cooking in the Dark on the Blind Handyman.
November 2004.
You might have gathered we have a live audience today.
We have folks from all over the nation. A lot of folks from in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Good morning again. I'm Bob Bartlett.
That was November 2004. Hi, this is Phil Parr, and this November 2006,
we're going to do it again.
We're going to gather at the Sheraton Northeast in Houston, Texas, and have a big party. Opening ceremony Saturday morning. Cooking in the Dark with Dale Campbell and Cheryl coming Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, lots of dancing and great live music. We'll record a live Blind Handyman show Sunday morning, a live Blind Like Me show Sunday afternoon, and Sunday night, more dancing and great live music. If all this sounds like fun to you, why don't you email me and I'll send you the details. My email address is phil@philpar.net. That's phil@philpar.net. We'll see you this November in Houston. Got Brother Dale Campbell with us on the telephone, and let me move my mic over here. Cooking in the Dark, and you said you had a cake you wanted to work on before
we are going
to
do. This is such an easy and delicious recipe.
All right, we love those.
Yeah,
caught me tasting a shrimp.
Easy and delicious. Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
Don't apologize.
No, we're not. Delicious shrimp. All right.
Delicious shrimp.
Delicious.
Now, the way this recipe works is you're going to need an angel food cake.
Okay.
And what? Doesn't matter if you want to buy it or make it yourself, either way. But if you make it yourself, let it cool. And then you want to slice it into three layers. So to do this, what I did, I took my bread knife and I took a tuna can, a can of tuna.
Yeah.
I put the knife on top of the tuna.
Okay.
Slid it through the cake. And just gently turn the cake while I sliced. And that gave me a bottom ring.
So you laid the knife across the can of tuna, stuck
the knife on the top of the can of
of tuna.
Yeah.
Slid the knife into the cake and then turned the cake.
And it just kind of turned the cake past the blade.
And so you had a bottom layer. Good thing.
So I cut it into one ring.
Good thing.
Now I'm going to go ahead and just take another tuna can. Stack it on top.
And do the same thing.
Tuna can. And just repeat the same procedure. So that I end up with three slices, if you will, or three rings
of
cake.
Yep.
And crumbs everywhere.
I imagine. I would imagine crumbs everywhere.
Yeah, what a plan.
If you'd lifted off the two top layers, you could have just done it with one tuna can. What happened? What fell?
Oh, that was Patterson.
I don't know. Where's Dale?
And was that Patterson?
What's that?
Patterson knocked something off. I thought it was you.
One of the tuna cans got away.
One of the tuna cans got away from him.
Yeah.
We got fish everywhere. Hey, November's coming up quick, isn't it?
It is. November is coming up quick. We have cake crumbs everywhere now, or what? What's the deal?
What's that?
You have cake crumbs all over the place.
No, not at all.
Not with angel food.
The method I'm using here, the crumbs are actually kind of going back into the center of the cake. All right.
All right.
So there's that ring. Ta-da.
Yeah.
Now we end up with three layers of cake.
Okay. Okay.
If you will.
What do we do now?
Now comes the cool part.
Cool part.
You take one large box of Jell-O instant pudding.
Uh-huh. I know where you're going.
We add to that the juice. I've got a 15-ounce can of pineapple chunks. Or you can use pineapple tidbits.
And you just want the juice?
I'm pouring the juice in right now. Yeah, first we're going to use the juice, and then once we get it mixed up with the Jell-O, we're going to add the pineapple to it.
All right.
Whoop.
Yeah,
sorry,
Sam.
Folks, I can't answer the Blind Mice hotline right now. We're on the air.
We're cooking in the dark. Busy cooking. Yeah,
yeah, folks, 936-634-9500.
You can call us on the live on the radio, 634-936-634-9500. You can call us live.
Got a
right
quiz.
Here.
What's black when you buy it, red when you use it, and gray when you throw it out?
I have no idea.
Charcoal.
Well, that, okay, that makes sense.
That'd be lost on us totally blind people, Dale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
He's lost in this total.
This guy walks into a...
Listen.
An office building.
Hold it. Hold it. Telephone's ringing.
All right.
Should we take the chance and just answer it?
Sure.
Just
why
answer
not?
It on the air. Hello there. How are you?
Blind Mice Mart.
I'm doing good. Hey, I'm down here in Houston. I'm looking for Dale's address. Where does he live? I want some of that shrimp.
You want some of that? Looking for Dale's address?
Shrimp time.
Maybe
well, drive to Galveston and... You went too far.
That's right.
Who are you, sir?
This is Lauren Buntemeyer and Lawrence Kent.
Lauren Buntemeyer and Lawrence Kent. Well, how are you?
Hey.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty
glad to hear from you.
I called you on Skype. Maybe that was a mistake.
Maybe it wasn't. Maybe
on Skype. All right.
No, sir. Maybe, yeah, Skype is it's a little bit bassy, I believe, for some reason, but I think I can.
Yeah.
Hey, Lauren, have you had a chance to use your walk yet?
Yes, it looks pretty good.
All right. Lauren bought a,
I'm trying to find out where I can purchase a good meat thermometer, though.
A what?
A meat thermometer, just like I just bought.
I'm going to call you back on landline.
You're going to call back on the landline? All right. You call back on the landline. That probably would work,
I thought we were restricted to one call per month with the high volume of calls we have.
Yeah, we've had to.
Yeah,
port.
Lauren bought a. I just added all of the pineapple now to
okay.
the pudding.
All right. Yeah, we've had to forego that one a month rule there, Don. And allow folks to call in
as often as they like.
Yeah.
Forget to remind everybody, Phil, in November when they come, to make sure they email me for my birthday list.
Oh, you mean of what presents you want?
Yes.
The birthday presents you'd like?
Yes.
Yes, we'll get right on that, Dale.
Yeah.
Okay.
It will be your birthday is the 4th or 5th? What was your birthday?
The
5th.
Yeah. All right.
So
I'll be 27.
So that'll be Sunday.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
That will be Sunday.
All right.
That will be 42, shall you'll be. Isn't it?
Man.
Yeah.
42.
You keep better track of that than I do.
42, because I remember when you were 40. It was our first deal. That was 2 years ago.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. You'll never...
Boop, you better show up, because I've got paybacks for you, girl.
Yeah, she's talking about not... I don't know what
payback
her deal is.
Time, huh?
So we have to take up election and pay her airfare. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah.
She's talking about trying
to... Okay, the last thing we're doing here is adding about a cup to a cup and a half of Cool Whip.
Okay.
To our mixture.
All right.
Let me wash my hands off here real quick.
All right.
While the phone's ringing here.
Yeah, and I tell everybody, for the cooking show, I think we're going to be doing shrimp again.
This
on
year?
That day. I've got a killer little shrimp and spinach recipe I think we're going to put out on everybody.
On the you mean the live in Houston?
Live in Houston.
No kidding. Well, man, that would be good. What did you do? Like, you did something last year that would just...
We did those shrimp brochettes, and then
man.
We did a beef stroganoff.
Boy, yeah, the shrimp brochettes were wonderful.
They were great.
I bet
you might have to prepare some of those just for the Blind Rifle Association meeting.
You really could. Let's see. Is this... all right, are you there?
Be
I'm there.
You are? That's much better.
Yes. That didn't work very well at all. I'm sorry about that.
That Skype stuff didn't work very well, did it?
No.
But we hear you well now, Lauren. Good to see you. Now, you're in Kansas, right?
Yeah, Lawrence, Kansas. Yeah.
You're not the guy that heats his house with that strange.
Oh yeah.
You're that
no,
guy.
I'm him.
You're that guy that has the solarium on the side of his house.
I have this. Yeah. Right.
And a personal friend of Dale Campbell's on the blind mice on the cooking in the dark.
I buy some of that stuff from him at Blind Mice Mart.
Is that right?
Yeah. He sells those meat thermometers and all that
great
stuff.
Walk. We've got a walk for the grill. It's a wok shape, but it's got a bunch of little openings in it, so it lets the smoke and all the good grill flavor get into your veggies. And
oh, really? Now, that's
awesome
pretty cool.
Dude, I use mine all the time, too.
That'd be pretty cool.
A wok for the grill.
So you set it on your charcoal grill or whatever?
Yeah, just set it up on the top of it and walk away.
That works pretty good. You take some zucchini and cut it in strips and throw it in there.
I bet.
You put it inside the grill or on top?
It sits on top.
On top, yeah.
Sounds pretty neat.
I have a barrel thing. I mean, would it sit on the top of the grill with the lid closed? Inside
yeah,
the barbecue?
I think it would. What do you think, Lauren? I mean, it's only about 5 inches high.
Yeah, it's not very high.
And about 11 inches in diameter at the top.
Got two little handles.
It's not real big, but...
Are the handles wood or...
It's metal. It's stainless.
Okay.
Stainless. All right.
So, but here's the thing. What is zucchini juice dripping down into the fire? Will it burn?
I don't know. No, it doesn't seem to hurt anything.
Doesn't seem to bother anything.
No.
No.
Well,
like
I'll be darned.
I mean, it's less flammable than grease or anything down in there from your...
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That's all right. And you sell those at Blind Mice Mart, of course.
Yeah, we just got them in. We got them in the last time with when we got in some more of the grill baskets.
Yeah.
And they work really well. I was like, you know, what is this? When I was reading the description of it, that's nice for... Because now what I usually end up using out there is an aluminum pan.
Yeah.
I throw vegetables in it and season them, and then they just kind of sit there and cook. But with this wok thing... I mean, because it has all the little openings in it, the little holes cut in it, it allows, if you're smoking or whatever, it allows the smoke flavor to get in there. And the
juice to drip out.
Yeah, it's nice.
Well, that would be cool. Well, Lauren, sir, we appreciate your call. And you have a question for Dale, or you want to?
Oh, no, not really. I was just thought I'd call and let you know there's at least two people listening to you out here. And I noticed on the computer here, there's 12 people in your room right now.
That's what I saw. There were more. We've lost a couple.
Lost audience share.
I guess they obviously probably had to go to work.
They've gone to the other network. That's what they've done.
They wouldn't have left us otherwise. I'm sure they both had to go to work. Probably have jobs that...
They were running to the store to get shrimp.
Jobs that start at 4. And
Oprah's coming on.
Well,
anyway, I want to tell you that it's great hearing these shows, and Jennifer's got a good thing here with all three of your shows coming on here.
She does, and we're enjoying it being on live, Lauren. We appreciate you, sir, and I'll talk with you.
All right, thanks.
All right, sir, bye-bye. All right.
Good deal.
What a deal.
That's all right, man.
Yeah.
It's the old two-call trick. What time is it?
It's getting real close to the end of the line here.
All right, you better. We're about 5 minutes.
All right, what we need to do, we'll run through what you got to do real quick, is you take your bottom ring, you want the... Lift off the two layers of the two top rings of your angel food cake.
Uh-huh.
Take about a cup and a half of this mixture and spread it out on top of the bottom layer. Replace the second layer, put about a cup of the mixture on it.
Yep.
And then spread the rest across the top of the cake.
Okay.
If you have and you want to, you can put pineapple rings around the very top of it just to dress it up a little more.
Okay.
When you get done with that, toss it in the refrigerator and let it chill for about 45 minutes to an hour before you serve it.
What do you do with the pineapple out of the can? I know what you do with
the pineapple that was in the can we dumped into the vanilla pudding.
Okay.
So basically, you start with the juice, mix it up with the vanilla pudding, where you get it all nice and mixed up, and then you add in the rest of the pineapple.
All right.
Whisk all that in or mix it all up together using a spoon, or I just used a big whisk. And then come back with about a cup and a half of the Cool Whip. Mix all that up, and there's your mixture. And then that's what you spread on your three layers of the Angel Food cake.
And put it,
man, it's delicious. Now, you can also do this with strawberries.
Put it in the fridge.
Which is just as good.
Yeah.
It's a nice, cool dessert for a hot summer evening.
Yeah. Luann did something similar with some sort of fruit and an Angel Food cake sundae.
Okay.
I don't know if she... Hers ended up as... hers wasn't firm. I mean, hers was more like a cobbler or something.
Okay.
But she did almost the same thing, and it was there was a part of it left, but there ain't no more.
I heard that.
Because the blind boy got it.
It's, I heard that.
It is history.
Blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then.
That's right. Finds an acorn every once in a while. So shrimp tonight, and what else? Shrimp.
Yeah,
and
the shrimp and the sauce. The sauce was thickening it up nicely. So on the break, I took the shrimp and just dumped it into the sauce.
Yeah.
It's sitting there. Everything's cool with it.
All right.
And then when we serve it, we'll just... What I would recommend is spooning it out with a slotted spoon first. That way you'll get your nice shrimpies.
Uh-huh.
And then come back with another spoon and drizzle some more sauce over the top
Pour a little sauce over the top.
Vegetables, I just checked and stirred those up. They're good to go.
All right.
These roasted vegetables are great. I mean, you can even just do straight baby carrots or straight potatoes or whatever. And they're really delicious. They give a nice, just a little different flavor.
All right.
Being roasted instead of being fried or baked or whatever.
BlindMySmart.com, is that right?
BlindMySmart.com.
That's where you can...
Come. Yeah, we have three winners, $1,500 scholarship winners. Everything's going great. We're adding new video games that are done by a blind computer gamer. I mean,
he's
a blind programmer.
Want to do a show with those three scholarship winners?
Yeah, we need to do that.
All right, well, get them ready and call me.
Yeah,
okay.
That sounds like a plan.
And we'll interview all three of those. That'd be a good Blind Like Me show, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah,
all right.
It would. Fellas, I'm looking forward to November, man.
Yeah,
I am too.
It seems like it's been eons since I shook y'all's hands and hung out.
It seemed like it's been a while. Blind Rifleman's Association meeting Friday night. Order those T-shirts, friends. And we still have a few, probably a few caps, Blind Like Me caps, and Blind Handyman caps.
We'll be bringing those.
And T-shirts.
I'm thinking about, I've come up with a kind of another idea of a T-shirt for the Blind Handyman.
Uh-huh.
I think we might take Mr. Houston's in the inner circle logo, you know, with the sunglasses, the hat, and the hammer, and blow that up real big and put that on a shirt as well.
We got to go. We're out of time, sir. We'll see you next month each Sunday on ACB Radio for you and Cheryl and Cooking in the Dark.
Cooking in the Dark right after you guys. So y'all hurry up and make sure you leave the studio cleaned up before you leave, okay?
We'll talk to you later. Goodbye. That's enough for him. Dale Campbell and Cooking in the Dark, and Don Shaw and Don Patterson. Thanks, sir. Appreciate your help. And
see y'all next week.
Tom Houston actually showed up today.
It's certainly nice to be here.
We're certainly glad to have you. All right. We'll do this again next week. I'm Phil Parr, and this will be on ACB Radio in case you miss it and repeat it on FTP on Saturday morning. Phil Parr, I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.